Everybody, I'm Dwight, I'm an addict. I'll make this real quick, but a few years ago or so, Natalie drove all the way from Amarillo, and I was asked to help, Dougie asked me to help get some speakers. I didn't realize she had moved to Montana, but she's demonstrated she's willing to be a service. Come on up, Natalie.
I'm Natalie, I'm an addict. I'm going to stand back here a little bit because I'm pretty loud. So I've been clean since 9/29/2010, and I lived in Amarillo all my life up until about August, and then due to a series of events, I got offered a job into Montana, and so I've been living there since then. But I've been in the program for 26 years. I had quite a bit of clean time, didn't take care of my mental health, went out for 6 months, and then got back in, and so I've got about 14 and a half years. So part of that is I've done service all 25 years. Even when I had that 6 month stint, I was still coming to meetings, still doing service because my sponsor still wanted me to, right? Kept me connected. She would ask me like, hey, you wanna come to that regional meeting? And I could not use, so I'd go to those meetings high and I'd do whatever she asked me to do when I was loaded, right? So one of those things that I know is that it doesn't matter if we're high when we come to meetings, as long as we're there, we're in the right place that we're supposed to be. As long as I'm not being disruptive, I have a right to be there because I earned my seat too. Service is what has kept me clean. It's what keeps me connected even when I don't want to be, right? Because I don't know about anybody else, but there's those times that I'm like, I don't want to go to this stuff. I don't want to go to meetings. I don't want to do any of this. But if I chair that meeting, I've got a commitment, right? The first thing that I learned in Narcotics Anonymous really was about integrity, was about being selfless, was about getting out of myself and doing things for others. The people in Narcotics Anonymous trusted me before my own family. Way back when, you know, because things have changed because that's just the way of the world. And as Narcotics Anonymous grows, the fellowship grows, things change, you know, technology, all of those things. Like, we don't keep the money in our houses anymore. Like, we get bank accounts, safes, stuff like that. When I had 90 days clean, I was able to keep the group's money. I couldn't even keep my own bank account. Like, my mom was my banker. But I had the group's money, right? They trusted me with that, and it meant so much to me. Now, by God, don't keep any of it, don't do that, right? People get all crazy pants about that, like, can't have money at your house, gotta have safe accountability, which is true, right? We've got a lot of personalities in the fellowship. I can tell you, starting at the group level is very important to me because it's a stair-step thing and a teaching thing. Right? Is that we teach as we grow. I don't believe that I need to go from not having any group level into region, zone, or world because then I'm not prepped. I'm not prepared for some of the strong personalities or for the understanding of how things work in a service structure. Right? I'm a big believer. I do not bend on what a clear message is. Right? Because when I got here, I didn't carry a clear message because I was going to both fellowships, right? I had to do what I had to do because of being on paper and just various, because I have a problem with authority, right? And so I got myself kicked out of places that, whatever, we're not going to go there. It's not a story time, but I'm just telling you, I had a problem with authority, so I had to go to whatever meetings I could go to as were mandated to me. And so I carried a very unclear message. And so when I wanted to hit 90 days clean, to go chair a meeting, and I said whatever the unclear message was, and they attacked me for it, right? Because that was in 2001. If I hadn't been me from an angry individual, I probably would have left, right? So through the change of caring, teaching people what is a clear message in a loving, caring way, not that I'm going to do it through tolerance, and I'm going to tolerate it, but I'm not going to ignore it, right? I'm going to teach the why behind it and not say, we don't do that here, right? I teach the why and explain what our predecessors did and all those things. That's being of service to the fellowship, right? I don't need outside entities to dictate what Narcotics Anonymous is, right? But I can teach the why of how it can conflict and how it can muddy our waters, right? Through love and compassion and caring and tolerance. I have a rule. I have a 90-day rule. I have a do you have a sponsor rule. I have a we're each other's eyes and ears rule. I have all these things that I've gotten through my experience of watching what happens when we treat people like shit in the rooms when they're already treated like shit outside of the rooms, why would they want to stay here, right? But if I can point to it in the literature, right? The literature tells me it was written for addicts by addicts. So we go through all these things. Everything that I know is based on my experience or somebody else's experience, because I've went to, I don't even know how many meetings, lots. I've served all the way up. I know where my niches are. I know what I like to do, what I don't like to do. So we have to give everybody that opportunity, right? Not everybody's a fit for H&I. Not everybody's a fit for activities. Not everybody's a fit to be the treasurer and say, I hate being secretary. Listen. I don't want to write the notes. I get distracted. And I don't like to do that. Can I do it? Yes. But that's not my niche, right? There's something for everybody in the fellowship. We just have to guide them in there. We can't put them in something that's not their niche. If we as people with time have been around, we need to help them find their niche. Don't put them in their... Listen. I hear you. So, anyways, we have to for each other's eyes and ears through, like, love and compassion. And don't let us attack them, right? And if they're not living up to or meeting their full potential, how can we help them? It's okay to say, you know what, this probably isn't for you. Maybe we can find something else. Maybe we can do something else, instead of letting them sit there in a position where they're feeling less than and we're attacking, right? Where can we find them? Maybe they're really good at PI or they're really good at H&I, and we need to guide them in what our PR manual says instead of letting them go off book. So let's fast forward to Montana. I walked in and I observed, because I don't want to be that person come from out of town. I don't know if you've ever had that. Somebody comes in from out of town, from New York, Colorado, Alaska. This is how I did it. This is how we did it where I come from, right? And everybody gets that ownership in their home group. Like, they don't know. They don't know. They don't even need to be talking, right? I've been that person. Like, take your New York what out of here, right? And so I observed for a month. Now, I continue to share. I'm very passionate about this program that saved my life. I'm very passionate. And I'm here about saving lives. And I'm very direct. I will get in your program. I step right in it because I believe we're each other's eyes and ears. If I see that you're faltering, I'm going to tell you, because I think we need to hear that. I come from old school Narcotics Anonymous. Right? I don't come from, hey, it's going to be okay. I will never tell you it's going to be okay. I'll tell you tomorrow may be different. Right? What can we do to get in the solution? Right? Because I hate to hear it's going to be okay. No, it may not. Tomorrow may be worse. Right? Like, I don't know. I don't have my crystal ball. But I came in, about 60 people in a meeting. It's treatment center heavy. They have a thing called pre-release. I don't know if any of you know what that was. I didn't. It's people from prison get put out in a facility for like 2 years, and no clear message. I've got the most clean time. Nobody's worked the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous, and it's a Narcotics Anonymous meetings, they say. I'm heated, and I'm like, what has happened, right? All I can do is I can be who I am. I can either succumb to what is happening in the meeting and blend, right? I can blend to the disease that's being talked about. We're talking about every drug we use. We're talking about every felony we have. They all have them, right? Finally, I was like, I'm at home, right? Like, we can talk about all those things. We're talking about everything except for the solution in every meeting. They don't know how to talk about it because it's not shared about. Or I can dig deep into what is the service of Narcotics Anonymous and how can I be of service to this fellowship without totally losing it. Because I'm like, what has happened? I've walked into the Twilight Zone. I come from a fellowship where all these things I just shared, we do, right? We've worked really hard at the home group that I was a part of. We've worked really hard at being inclusive. We've worked really hard at our clear message, at all of these things. Solid. And I come over to this group and I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel like I've went back 20 years. Like, what if we have no area? We have no, I mean, there's nothing, right? And I'm just like, I don't have, now mind you, it's just me that's moved here. I have no friends. I have no family. I've got a new job. I have none of my NA family. I have all of these things. And so what do I fall back on? The foundation that I'd set many years ago, which I believe, right? I'm reading my literature. I am talking to my people in Texas, right? So it's very important to get all those relationships because we never know what's going to happen. And then I just keep sharing. I start sharing about the steps. I start sharing, but I'm aggressively sharing, right? Like I'm sharing in a way, like aggressively sharing about what the steps say, what the basic text says. So I'm da-da-da-da-da, if you want the basic. Because our literature, because we're splitting the building with the other fellowship. Our literature is on the second floor in a locked closet. So we can't, so now I'm really heated, right? So I start pushing literature. I start just making sure that I have literature in my car for anybody that I feel may need it to where I can hand it out. Like, hey, you don't have basic? Let me just get you basic. Let me take, this is the best book you need. Right? Like doing all these things because I have such a passion and we need it. Right? And some of these people are so hungry for a solution. And then there were people there that had time that told me they knew the program till we started talking shop. Right? And I want them to be part of the team. Right? But they don't want to talk shop with me because they don't want to be part of the solution. Right? And that's fine. I want them to be part of the solution, but they're not ready to be part of the solution because they sit on that clean time land. Somehow we get on clean time and we think that that's the most important thing that we have, and it's not. Clean time's great. I'm not disputing that. But sometimes when that's all we have, that's all we have. Right? And so my clean time is a lot of days in a row, but I've had to fight a lot of times for every day I got. And so I have to remember where I came from, right? So getting back in that literature, doing those things, making sure, am I helping that newcomer? Am I telling that newcomer when I go into a meeting? Like this week, I lost every character defect, every shortcoming I had came out in front of all leadership, in front of all those people. I lost my temper. Anger is my biggest character defect. Went left. Third floor is leadership floor. And like multiple leaderships. All of them met the devil. Right? And I thought about making amends on Wednesday. And then I said, nah. Maybe on Monday. Right? Maybe Tuesday. I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know yet. We'll see. Maybe this weekend I'll feel maybe on Monday. Maybe we'll get back to Monday. But, you know, those kinds of things. So in this time, so now here we are, I'm sponsoring 9 people. There's a way that 9 people in Montana, I sponsor 5 in Texas. Here's the way that I sponsor. 30 days a step. I believe everybody can do them in a year. In that, we started this magical thing. So many people now are engaged. We've got a clear message in the home group. We have not been part of the area since 1996. I went to region 2 months ago. I said, hey, blah, 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 blah. Went to this thing. They tried to tell me they wanted us to go back and get our shit together. I said, what? Right? So I had to go back to the region and tell them some other things. But now we had our first area meeting last weekend. Right? You know? And part of that comes from we had our first activities meeting last weekend too to get events, to get addicts engaged. And we're having the adult Easter egg hunt, which is my favorite. Okay, y'all don't even know what that is. But those things to get the addicts engaged to know there is life after using. Mm-hmm. Right? It is okay. Like, that is service. To say, hey, it doesn't matter how much I work. If I didn't have recovery, I wouldn't have a job. If I didn't have recovery, my kid wouldn't have, like, my kid drove up here secretly, covertly between, these are my peeps, right? They covertly did something. She shows up here at 9:30 this morning from Amarillo, right, just to see me, right? And it's that kind of stuff. I wouldn't have gotten that job in Montana. And a lot of that comes from putting service first, recovery. My recovery has to come first, or all that stuff doesn't matter. My people in Montana didn't even know I was coming here for a convention until this morning. They're like, you're speaking? I said, yeah. They said, why didn't you say anything? I said, because I'm just another addict. I said, it doesn't matter. Right? Like, I'm just coming down here to come see my peeps, right? Because Montana's 19 hours from my hometown, right? And when Like, it was so funny. When Dougie had called him, I was like, hey, just checking in. I was like, yeah, can you make sure the program says Great Falls, Montana? And they were like, what? You know? And I'm like, it's no, because, right, they asked. And I was so honored. Like, that is such a big deal to me. But not something so big that I have to be like, hey, guys, right? Like, I get excited and passionate. And so, like, anytime I can talk shop, and I'm going to call it out, Robert came to Amarillo. I don't even know because I lose timelines, right? So Robert does have a lot of time in the program, but it has a lot of time involving recovery in the program. And so anytime I can talk shop with someone that can do service to the fellowship and program, I gravitate towards them. Man, who can I talk with that has instilled parts of their spirit and their soul into the fellowship, that has given of themselves so freely and still has went through, you know, he's went through some stuff, I went through some stuff, all that stuff, and still keep coming back and being like, man, I love this fellowship. Even when I didn't want to. Even when I didn't want to come back, and people be like, how could you even do this stuff? If I was you, I would have used. I'm like, well, that's probably why you're not me. Right? Like, in my darkest days, two years ago, maybe three, I wanted to drive my car into a fucking bridge. Right? I wanted to use, drink, die. It didn't matter. I was done. I was so emotionally bereft, I couldn't go any further. Instead, I smoked some cigarettes, man. I'm going to tell you. And I'll tell you, like, these people right here, he's doing wellness checks on me. This one's calling, right? Because I was so broken. And I couldn't stop crying because of a lot of stuff going on in my life. And then finally, if I hadn't had that foundation that I got from serving, I got it from serving others and doing the work, right? All the steps, all the reading, all the meetings, all the praying, all the things. But really doing the service and learning and asking questions. That's what service is, asking questions. Like, hey, like back then when it was GSR, RCM, RCMA, RD, AD, what do these mean, huh? Can anybody explain the acronym? When can I vote? When can I not vote? It's asking questions. And then when people ask me questions, not going, don't you know what that means? Right? Answering their questions, right? Instead of acting like I'm better than or that I'm less than or whatever. How do I serve best in the fellowship is by teaching. And so that's where my home group in Great Falls, they asked me to be the GSR. They voted me in as GSR in October. And I said, I'm not here to be a dictator. I said, I'm here to teach. I said, I want to teach you. So we have some pretty informal, you know, we're using Robert's rules, which, you know, people are like, oh, I'm like, listen, we have to learn how to vote for it. Right? You know what I mean? But asking questions like, what does that mean? What is that? And it's amazing, and they like the structure, right? And that's what makes my, like, where we're not fighting over some minutia, man, because I've been in group consciousness where it's like, did you put that word in there correctly? I don't know. I signed it with blood. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, those kinds of things going way back to the basics of remembering stuff when it was simpler, you know? How do we show the way without misdirecting them? Because some of our fellowship, people have left the rooms because the personalities got so great that they couldn't say, or we allowed, let me caveat that, we allowed some personalities to get so big, no one would take it down. And I don't care how big your personality is, because it's always about the principle. I'm a very principle-driven person. It's always about the, even if it's my personality, like, put me in check, right? Like, the principle is always the principle. Right is right, wrong is wrong. And the literature tells me what's what, right? It's not the, well, are you sure? No, let's go. And so I teach them. I'll show you how to get on NA.org. I'll show you how to go tonight. We can even type them. We can do this. We can do that. It's about learning. Don't accept me like, one of the things that I say is, if you think that I'm wrong, come to me or let's go look it up. Let's look it up together. Maybe I am wrong, because sometimes I forget some stuff, right? Service taught me so many things. That being service to the fellowship taught me how to be a good employee, taught me how to be a good parent, taught me how to be a good daughter, Taught me how to be a good friend. Taught me how to be vulnerable, the biggest V word there ever is. Right? Like, taught me how to ask for help, which I've had to do more in the last 2 years than I ever have in my entire life. And some people know that I'm probably not going to. So they just insert their life and be like, she's just not going to do it. Let's just help her. But as far as what do I do? What can I do to be better? And then the other part of being service is learning to say no. Some of us suffer from that disorder. I'll do it all. I got it. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Yep. At one point, I had 24 service positions. I was doing them. But then I got really hostile, resentful, all those things, right? And it's not healthy. When I moved to Montana, I'm doing something for myself, like, you know, spending time with a person. Like, and I make sure that all my sponsees, I do all of that. We have that time schedule in my calendar. All their stuff is on the weekday when we work steps, not on the weekend. Now, obviously, I answer the phone if it's, you know, we're having moments or whatever. But I used to stack everybody up on the weekends. I'd work 70 hours during the week, I wouldn't have anybody, I wouldn't have any time for Natalie. And today, I have time for me. Because not only am I being service to the fellowship, I've got service for me. Which took me 24 and a half years to do. So, you know, it's progress. Am I there yet? What are we now? Yeah, no, keep talking. No. Okay. I think probably for me, what I do know is like activities. So in 2002, we had a camp out. Well, we have a camp out every year in Texas. And that is my passion. I was a night crawler, and I got to become a day seeker. I learned that I could be outside and not have to be in the dark all the time. When I got here, I was really that animalistic level, right, that it talks about in our literature. I didn't know how to communicate with people. I'd been in the isolation. I'd been all those things. And going to that camp out in the daylight, and now let me tell you, I tan every year from that year because I burned Lobster like the color of his shirt back there. I was sick, sun sick. And but from that one on, that became my passion, is having that camp out every single year. And then getting addicts to come to it, like people who were like, oh, I can't do that without blah, blah, blah. I can't be at the lake without blah, 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 blah. And watching the people, some would skip it their first year. Oh no, I can't do that. But then listening to people who would come back after the camp out and just share about it. And then people get what? FOMO, right? They get FOMO. They're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I missed out on that. Da-da-da. And then they'd come the next year. And the next year, you know, some of our camp outs, we've served 115 people. And what that means is, all meals were provided, brisket dinner, all of the things of it being a huge thing. And then I also have that fear of people not eating and feeling like they have to pay to eat. Because of my addiction, there was a lot of times I didn't eat or I was homeless that had to do with me not even using on those days. And so I never want anybody to be hungry. Because I freak out. I also freak out when I am hungry. So it's a big deal for me to make sure that everybody's fed, right? And that everybody understands that they get to be fed. And even any of the events that we did was always, you know, hey, we'll have a recommended donation, but no addicts turned away. Hey, well, just to get them out in the daylight, even if it's to visit with one person in the whatever, just talk to someone or volleyball or what are all those things. And so, like the adult Easter egg hunt, I'll tell you, because I'm like a big kid. And so a lot of that is because I didn't get to do that stuff when I was a kid. My mom worked 3 jobs, whatever, whatever. And so inventing a lot of games where we get to be a kid. And so there is nothing funner, so you should take this back if you don't do it this year, than watching a bunch of addicts run for Easter eggs that are adults only, right? And I mean, we get kind of brutal. But you have prizes in some of the eggs, so it's not just like we're going to do it for free, right? We're like, what do we get? And but doing that and running around, watching them like do tug of war or egg toss or volleyball or any of these things, chaotic cakewalk at Halloween, I mean, all of those things, is how do we get addicts to understand that you can have fun? That's service to me. How do we do stuff where we're not just, you know, sitting around and talking? I'm not disputing that there's anything wrong with that. But I was so dead inside when I got here. And I was so angry that I was that person, do not hug me. Do not talk to me. Do not look at me. Today, I sometimes may present that as well. I'm not a big hugger. I'm not a fan of it, but that's my own personal stuff. But again, how do I get other people? Everybody that I sponsor, it is an expectation that they're in service, just because they at least need to try it. If there's other things that they can't do, that's fine. But it's about getting out of self, right? Even if it's opening the door, even if it's doing dishes, even if it's things, it doesn't have to be formal service, right? Because I think people get tripped up on that when we were having meetings. Well, I'm not doing formal service. That's not what it's about. Holding the door open for someone, pushing the chairs in, cleaning the tables at the meeting. Yes, sharing in a meeting is service. However, if you see a piece of trash on the floor in your home group, because this used to me, because I can't help it, because the way my mind works. So you see the piece of trash on the floor, pick it up. That's service. Take ownership in our home groups, right? That's all we have to do, is just take ownership. I was like, are you going to raise your hand for me? Today, I think our biggest, they asked me to join the task force outreach committee for the region. And what that'll look like, because I'm already trying to change things because I can't help myself, is going to our smaller, because in Montana, every town is about 2 hours away from each other. For any of you who've been there, this is my first time. So it'll be going to these other towns and saying, hey, we have viable Narcotics Anonymous here, and we would like to support your small meeting and show you, and what can we do to support, right? What we have within starting to sponsor these people, about, you have 30 days a step, you have all this. Now they're trying to take a race to the top of the 9 people that I've started sponsoring, right? I sponsor men and women, because remember I said nobody worked all 12 steps in Narcotics Anonymous. And I believe that if you're going to sponsor someone, you need to work all 12 steps in Narcotics Anonymous. And man, just the uplifting of that, and watching them, and some, because there is a need, right? That some of them have started sponsoring early because we have that need to start getting them through the steps, to start doing those things. It's kind of like old school way. And the vibe of the meeting, the people, other people wanting to get in the steps, the other people trying to get doing their things, has changed dramatically, right? From August to April. And it fills my heart and fills my spirit. And they ask questions. Any question they want to ask, I just answer whatever. And I tell them, like, I may not have your experience, but I bet I can find somebody who does. The cool thing about being able to travel, or that I've traveled to many places, is that if I know somebody that has an experience that I haven't experienced, I can say, hey, I can connect you with such and such, right? Because there is some things that I've heard, which is really kind of hard pressed because I've been around a long time, that I'm like, I don't know, but let me see if I can find out, right? Again, I'm so fortunate to have found this program, or this program found me, whichever way we look at it, and to have met all the people that I've met, that I don't know what I would do without service, or that I haven't been given the opportunity because I get to use it in my life today. Like I currently have 53 employees, and I step their ass all the time and they don't even know it, right? Like, I did it all this week. And to tell them things like, have you ever had somebody make you feel some type of way, make you feel less than, and make you feel like you don't belong? And then be like, yes. I said, then how does that make you feel? They're like, not good. And I said, then why would you do it to someone else? You know, what's your solution? What's your part in it? And when we meet again next week, then we're all going to come together and collaborate. And I told all of them the same thing. So we've got a meeting on Monday, right? I said, I'm not having it. We're all going to come in here with positive intent. I said, I do my outside life like I do my work life. If I'd not had the steps or had all of you to help teach me by doing service with, like sitting in a hard service meeting thinking, this mother, right? Like, and learning how to do, put the principle before the personality, I would not be able to do this in my outside life successfully. Because sometimes I do fail, but I'm able to take a step back and say, okay, is this my 6 and 7? How do I do a 10? Maybe I need to throw in, you know, I'm step 1. Like, I can rapidly do it because of doing service to the fellowship. So I'm glad I'm here.
Great job. We have another speaker, Dwight Attic.
Hey, Dwight.
So, just real quick, early in my recovery, I had a job in St. Louis, lived there. It's like my home away from home, and got a lot of friends and family there. Unfortunately, Steve wasn't able to make it here in time, but I got Tommy coming up to share.
I'm a recovering addict named Tommy. Man, I wasn't prepared for this, right? I just had got here at 5:10, and Dwight calls me at 5:20 and say, hey, the speaker hasn't made it, right? But I truly believe in sponsorship, right? And my sponsor told me that whenever I'm called on to carry this message, I should be of service to the fellowship, right? The first thing I'm going to do is give y'all the message of Narcotics Anonymous, and that message is that any addict, I'm not just talking about the addict who's just spent this whole paycheck and can't make it, his wife won't let him in the house. I'm not talking about that addict who can't keep nothing of value, right? I'm not talking about that addict who's in and out of treatment and just can't get it right. Any addict. I'm talking about the addict who's driving our kids around on the school bus. The addict who's flying you from destination to destination. I have learned that this disease of addiction does not discriminate, man. An addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way of life. Our message is one of hope and a promise of freedom. When all is said and done, our primary purpose can only be to carry the message to the addict who still suffers, because that's all we have to give you. They didn't promise me that I was going to get my twins back in my life. They didn't promise me I was going to get the career that I always wanted. They didn't promise me none of that. However, I have learned that if I stay on this side of the fence, that shit would be a lot more easier to obtain, right? Man, this program works. How do I know this program works? At this moment, this very moment, right, look at how many felonies are not being committed. Oklahoma is a lot safer with us on this side of the fence, man. So I'm going to read this, right? And it's the last paragraph in the introduction, right? And it goes, everything that occurs in the course of NA service must be motivated by the desire to more successfully carry the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. It was for this reason that we began this work. We must always remember that as individual members, groups of service committees, we are not and should never be in competition with each other. We work separately and together to help the newcomer and for our common good. We have learned painfully that internal strife cripples our fellowship. It prevents us from providing the services necessary for growth. It is our hope that this book will help the still suffering addict find a solution that we have found. Our purpose is to remain clean just for today and carry the message of recovery, man. And I say this, right? If it hadn't been for the true predecessors, man, like Jimmy K, right? You know, the last paragraph in the 12 traditions say it was through their hard-won experience that gave birth to these traditions, and our own experiences have shown that these traditions are just as valid today as they were when these traditions were formulated. Our traditions protect us from the internal and external forces that could destroy us. They are truly the ties that bind us together. It is only through understanding and application that they work. I mean, I can't imagine right before 1953 and, you know, you have this disease of addiction and you're getting locked up for meeting. And they fought, they stayed the course, man. And as a result of that, we're able to get the therapeutic value that we so desperately need today, man. One addict helping another. You know, and I've learned that desire is not a measurable commodity in Narcotics Anonymous, man. Look, I stopped counting my treatments at 9. Because I would come around, y'all, and get all this good information, right? But I couldn't keep it when I left from around y'all. So the last treatment that I was in, my counselor gave me a marble just like this. And I said, what is this for? I thought she was being funny. She said, well, you lost most of yours out there in your active addiction. And I'm grateful for her because she told me, you know, she was of service to me. And she said, when I get out of here, the first thing you need to do is make a Narcotics Anonymous meeting and plant the seed. And when you go to that meeting, you need to stand up and tell them your name and tell them you need some help. And I did just that. And coincidentally, the very first meeting that I went to was her home group. And I went to that meeting and I stood up and said, my name is Tommy and I need some help. And they hugged me, man. And it was something about the way they hugged me that made me believe that they really cared, Jamie. You know, for the first, do you know how long it had been since somebody gave me a loving and caring hug? Do you know how hard it was for me just to get back to me? The liturgy tells me my capacity to feel human was lost. So I was in kind of like a really desperate state when I got back to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, when I got here and I finally started to get some low self-esteem, that was a step up for me. And when I was in my very last treatment, right, H&I came in. And this guy came in, he was clean, he had on he drove for the transit system in St. Louis for Bi-State, And he was clean. He looked like he had his stuff together. And he told me his story, right? And he said, look, man, y'all are addicts. And he said, what makes you addicts is not the particular drug you take. It's the reaction that you get once they hit your system, right? He said, you're an addict through and through. He said, once a cucumber turned into a pickle, it can't go back to being a cucumber. He said, only a monster would jump in the cage with another monster, man, and they'll come out of there clean, man. And it was something about that, man, and I wanted to get more information from him, Dwight. I needed some more information, and the only way, I ain't never go to no Narcotics Anonymous meeting after I left treatment. It's just something about the way that free air hits your face, right? So I never went, but this intrigued me, right? And I wanted to find him so I can get some more information because I believed that he would be the one to help me, right? So after 2.5 months of going to meetings, I finally found him. And I asked him to sponsor me. And he sponsored me for the first 11 years of my recovery, man. Gave me everything. He had a service commitment, right? He turned the service commitment over to me when I had like 2 years clean. And I committed to that service commitment every Saturday for 8 years in a row. Because I truly believe, man, that service work, being of service to others in this fellowship, man, it gets me out of my self-centeredness, right? Which is the core of my disease. But if I'm of service to someone else and trying to help them get freedom from this debilitating disease, man, you know, that warms my heart. I wouldn't wish this disease on no one. I did that service commitment faithfully for 8 years, man. And it's a brother that's sitting back there now. When I couldn't make it on Saturday, I would call him. And it sparked the fire in him also, right? And after some years, I started sponsoring him also. I love you, Lauren. I love the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, man. Being a service is not being on a committee board, right? It's a posture of my heart, man. And I've learned that I can follow these things in every area of my life. If it's just simply holding the door open for someone, man. The therapeutic value, man. Look. I go to jail on purpose, right? Every Tuesday, me, the guy who couldn't stay out of jail, I was that guy, right? You know how when the friends started playing off with, hey, all you got to do is, my ass always went to jail. But I get to go to jail on purpose every Tuesday, man, and carry a message to those inmates out in the Clayton facility, man. And I tell them, look, we're not in here to sell y'all on Narcotics Anonymous or anything. We're just letting y'all know that this is the only way that we found out how to get clean. We're here to let y'all know that we do recover out in open society on our own. And you can become productive members of society. The first step in treating this disease is not to use no dope. This is not a drug program, man. My thinking is 99.9% of my dilemma. It's supported by the liturgy. It says we all are mismanagers and not one of us is capable of making good decisions on a consistent basis. Not one of us. No matter how well we think we got it or what we've accomplished in this fellowship, I can make 50 good decisions, and that 51st one to take my ass right up out of here. That's why I stand here now, and that's why I respect service work so much, man. I love being of service, man. Is there any newcomers in here? If it is, welcome. Please keep coming back in here, man. You're looking at an addict who couldn't. I had the can't get right syndrome. Couldn't just get anything right, man. It wasn't until I saw that guy coming to my last treatment and told me that there was a way out. I haven't found it necessary to use any mood or mind-altering chemicals since May the 5th of 2005, man. I am forever grateful to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. It wasn't until I came in here and got into this literature, right? This is my roadmap to life, man. I read my literature, I study my literature, and I've learned that obsessive behavior is a common denominator for addictive people, right? We have times when we run around and try to fill ourselves up until we're satisfied, only to realize there's no way to satisfy us. Part of our addictive personality is that we can never get enough. I had to learn that. Why can't I go and comp and go home, right? Why can't I go home and, you know, go comp and go home? You know, somebody come to the trap house and comp. I'm sitting there. They come back 4 days later. Guess who's still there? I lack the ability, man, to function as a human being, either with or without the dope. So I always need help with my thinking, man. And being of service, right, the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is a two-way street. Sometimes my sponsees give me back what I gave them. I don't make good decisions on a consistent basis, right? I can't afford to come in here and bullshit y'all and let y'all tell y'all only a half a truth, right? If I tell you a half truth, I'll only get a half the solution, right? Which brings me to a story, right? There was this turkey, right? It was real sickly, and it was talking to this bull, right? And the turkey said, I wish I could fly to the tallest branch on this tree, right? So the bull said, if you eat some of my droppings, you'll be able to do it after a while. So the turkey, realizing it didn't have nothing to lose, he agreed to it. So the first day, he ate some of the bull's dropping. He was able to fly up to the first branch. Second day, he ate a little more. He flew up to like the fifth branch. The last day, he ate some more. He flew all the way up to the top and perched himself on the highest branch on the tree. Farmer came out of his house, saw the turkey up there, went in the barn, got his shotgun, shot his ass, and ate him for dinner. So the moral of the story is, right, bullshit might get you to the top, but it won't keep you there. I can't afford to come in here, man, and let y'all know what's not going on with me, because I know me left up to my own vices, I'll self-destruct. It's been tried and proven. I appreciate the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. Everything, if it wasn't for y'all being of service to me and me being of service to y'all, everything that I have acquired in these last years of my recovery, I got from another addict. I came in here in my last treatment. Not only did I have mixed mate socks on, they were mixed mate shoes also. I was a low bottom addict, man. I lived to use and I used to live. I stopped thinking that I can ever get clean. I didn't think there was a way out. But after that last ass whooping I took, I started listening. That's all I had to do. Step two says we found that all we had to do was try. Now, step three, we found that all we had to do was try, and we'll find the program will work for us like it has for countless others, man. All you had to do was try, Tommy. Get out of your way. Get out of your way and let someone who's faced your dilemma and who has found a way out show you some direction. Yeah, I'm going to fall short. I'm going to fall short in my recovery, right? But I realize that I don't have to use over. I'd rather make a mistake that makes me humble than to make an achievement that makes my ass arrogant. Humility is my ideal state. And it's just simply not thinking less of myself, but thinking of myself less. Get out of your way and be of service to somebody, Tommy. That's why I go out to that correctional facility, right? Because that last correctional facility, the one that I'm going in, right? I went in there, I was looking at 7 counts. I was on 7 counts of burglary, right? And I was on my way up to prison. And the public pretender told me, he said, they want to give you 7 years on these counts, but I can get you off with 7. I said, your ass is fired. And my mom, right, the last person on this planet that loved me unconditionally, got me a paid lawyer, man, and I got out of that, man. And I would like to say I stayed clean, but I didn't. So newcomers, please keep coming back in here. Give your chance a chance, man. I said earlier, the first thing in treating this disease is not using drugs, man. Yeah. That's a step two hit. In Narcotics Anonymous, the first thing we stop doing is using drugs. And at this point, we begin to feel the pain of living without drugs or anything that it replaces. The pain, not no drugs, the pain forces us to seek a power greater than ourselves that will relieve our obsession to use. That's the best gift that y'all have given me. By me keep messing with y'all and coming around y'all, the best gift this program has given me is when my desire to use drugs was lifted. Because that consumed every fiber of my being. If I didn't have it, I was thinking about ways and means to get it. When I did have it, I couldn't enjoy it because I was wondering what I was going to do when this ran out. When I was sleeping, I was dreaming about the shit. So when that desire was lifted, I was able to tackle all the reasons that led me up to why I had to use a mind-altering chemical to run from me. I was able to get to the exact nature. This program really works, man. You're looking at an addict who couldn't stay clean, man, for nothing. And the longer I stay clean, the more screwed up I realize that I am. True story. I want to thank you, Dwight, for asking me to share my experience, strength, and hope. And that's all I got.